So we have been talking about building margin. And just like a page of paper has four margins, this series has four parts because we have four margins in our lives. We started off talking about our financial margin, and we said that we are not truly a disciple of Christ unless Jesus is the Lord of our wallet. Then we talked about building margin in our time, and we said that it is in the stillness of our time margin that God speaks. It is through our solitude and our silence that the great I am speaks to who you are. And last week, we got together, and we talked about emotional margin, and we said that we are emotionally exhausted. And Alicia brought us this beautiful sermon about rest and the Sabbath and being restored and remembering who God is and what he's doing in our lives. And this week, we're ending the series to talk about building margin in our physical lives. Now, when I told my mom last week that this is what I was going to be preaching on, she kind of paused for a minute and said, can you pick something else? See, because she knows me, and she knows what physical margin entails, and of all of the margins on our page, this is probably the one that I struggle with the most. So all week, I've been sitting out in these seats listening to God preach this sermon to me and teaching me about what it means to have physical margin in your life. And I'll tell you, it's been a little bit of a rough week sitting on this, but it's good. So let's sit and listen to what it is to build physical margin in our lives. Richard Swenson, in his book Margin, which has inspired this series, there's our advertisement for today. He says that it is these three factors, poor conditioning, sleep deprivation, and obesity, that create in us a physical energy desert in which no margin can grow. Poor conditioning, sleep deprivation, and obesity. I want to clarify on a couple of points right off the bat and saying that when I say poor conditioning, like exercise, I'm talking about more being active in our lifestyles, not just sitting around all day, but actually being active, getting up and moving, raising the heart rate a little bit, that kind of stuff. And I also want to say that obesity, while it is an issue, it's not the only issue when it comes to our dietary habits, because undereating is just as hazardous to our physical margin as overeating is. So poor conditioning, sleep deprivation, and poor dietary habits. Now, when we don't sleep, eat, or exercise properly, we're truly wreaking havoc on our lives and our bodies. And I wrote a list because I wanted to make sure that I got all of this. It's a long... All right, so when we don't sleep, exercise, or eat properly, our bodies, they don't move as well. We start to get more sluggish, and our reflexes slow down, and we start to lose motor skills. Maybe you've noticed that. You get a little shaky, and you just aren't as energetic. Our brains, they don't think as clearly. We can't focus on thoughts as well, and we start to lose short-term memory. When we don't sleep, eat, or exercise, we gain weight. We lose energy. Our stress increases, whereas if we were actually creating a physical margin in our lives, we are actively decreasing stress. And we have a weakened immune system, which means that we get sicker, or we get sick more easily and more often. Now, those are the effects of a deficit in our physical margin in just one of those three categories. If we don't sleep, this happens. If we don't eat properly, this happens. And if we're not exercising, if we're not living an active lifestyle, this happens. And if it were just one of those things, it might not be so bad. But the problem is that where one falls, the other two go with it. If we're not sleeping, then we don't have the energy to get up and exercise. And if we have bad sleep habits, for me, for example, I stay up really late, which means I usually wake up late and don't have time to eat breakfast. Therefore, my sleep habits, they've affected my exercise habits and they've affected my eating habits. If I'm not eating properly, then, which bad eating habits, I eat right before I go to bed because that's when I get hungry. That affects my sleep. You don't sleep as well when you eat right before bed because your body doesn't digest the food properly. And you have that little bit of energy that your body creates through the food that keeps you up at night and it keeps you from being well rested. So bad eating habits affect your sleep habits, and you don't have the energy or the functionality to exercise. If I don't eat, I get shaky and I just feel tired. So my eating habits, they've affected my exercise habits. If I don't exercise, then I'm not burning off the food that doesn't get processed by my metabolism, and therefore I'm gaining weight. And if I don't exercise, the energy that I've built up through that food stays in my system, and it keeps me from sleeping well. So my exercise habits have affected my eating and my sleeping. Where one category falls, they all go with it. It's all tied together. So if we're going to, in our lives, build physical margin, we have to build a margin in each of these categories. But before we even get into talking about that, I want to answer this question, and the question is, why? Why are we talking about physical margin in church? Why does what I eat and how I sleep and how I exercise, how does that affect my spiritual life? We sang it during the offering. Our bodies were a temple. We are the sanctuary of the Lord. It is a gift. That's one thing that Swenson says in his book. Says that our bodies are a gift from God. We just have to feed it and water it and move it and rest it. But it has to be the right food and it has to be the right rest and the right movement. See, we have this gift that God has given us, and we are the stewards of our bodies, so we need to be protecting our body in such a way that it glorifies God. Paul, in his book, in the letter to Timothy, writes that physical training is of some value, but godliness is of value in all things. And typically, when we read that verse, we jump right to the godliness is the value in all things part, because that's the focus of that verse. But we skip over the bit where he says physical training is of some value. There is value to training our bodies, to building physical margin. We need to be building this margin in such a way that it glorifies God. In October, we went through a series talking about how we use our bodies and how that affects how we worship. And we said that what we do with our body affects how we worship. That our bodies are either going to be a stepping stone for our spiritual lives, or they're going to be a hindrance to it. Nowhere is this so true as it is when building physical margin in our lives. We can either build a stepping stone to our spiritual lives, or we can hinder it. Because I don't know how many of you have ever tried to pray while you're really tired, like totally sleep deprived. You fall asleep every time. Get all fuzzy, can't focus on a thought. See, our bodies, they affect our spiritual lives. And by now, you've realized whether or not you've built up physical margin in your life. You've probably realized it when I listed off all the things that happen when we don't have it. But just in case you aren't there yet, I want to kind of give you a couple of symptoms of this physical margin deficit. Now, just like the symptoms of a cold, you know, could either be allergies, no big deal, your body will work through it eventually, or it could be a flu, which is a little bit more severe. The symptoms here, they could just be nothing. They could be allergies, nothing serious. Your body will work through it. Or it could be something far, far more serious. Because if we're not actually taking care of our bodies, it could literally kill us. So here are the symptoms of a lack of physical margin. In your diets, if you aren't eating three meals a day, you might not have physical margin in your life. If you struggle to get out of bed in the morning, this is me. Can I just be totally like confession time here? I have the hardest time waking up in the morning. And when I do finally wake up, I have to have my coffee to function. If that's you, like it is me, and you can't get out of bed and you have to have your coffee as a crutch, you might not have physical margin in your life. If you can't think clearly, your brain is all scattered, you can't focus on a thought, you start to notice that you're forgetting things more often, you're turning through the pages of a book you're reading and you flip the page and you realize, I don't remember anything that I just read. If that's the case, you might not have physical margin in your life. And then if you find yourself walking short distances or climbing a flight of stairs and you're out of breath, it's a sign that you might not have enough physical margin in your life. Now, I'll be totally honest with you, most of these are me. But there's good news for us, and that's that with a little bit of discipline, we can build physical margin in our lives. But we have to take control. We have to take the responsibility to do so. See, in this book, Swenson goes and he gives us 20 tips on how to build this physical margin. I'm not going to go through all 20. I'm going to give you the three. And the first one is this. It says that we have to take responsibility. The truth of the matter is, Rodney can't add physical margin to my life. Yeah. I'm the only one that can add physical margin to my life. Just like you're the only one that can add it to your life. We have to take the responsibility to do that within ourselves. And that means changing some habits. Now, the reason we have a lacking in physical margin is probably because we have bad habits. I've already told you a couple of mine. I stay up way too late so that I wake up way too late. It's a bad habit. We have to change habits. For me, that's turning off my media at 8 o'clock so that I'm not on Netflix all night long. Studies have shown that it takes between 21 and 30 days, roughly, to change a habit. So that's going to take some discipline. But we can do it. And with just a little bit of discipline, we can change habits and build physical margin into our lives. The third thing that we need to do to build physical margin is that we need to find emotional margin. See, they're all tied together. All of these margins, just like on a piece of paper, they're touching. But nowhere is this so true as it is with our emotional and our physical margin. I mean, you guys know this is true. If you've ever been driving and you get stuck behind somebody who's going 20 and a 60, you know how your heart rate kind of rises? Your face turns a little bit red. Maybe your hands start to shake. Your hands get tighter on the steering wheel. Like, our emotions, they affect our bodies. when we're depressed, we kind of slouch down a little bit, and we actually, it's called being downcast because our body is, but we move more sluggishly. We don't have the energy to move. So our emotions are directly connected to our physical margin. So in order to build a physical margin, we have to build our emotional margin as well. When we do this, we find balance. Because balance is truly the key. All of these margins are connected. Our finances are connected to our time. Our time is connected to our emotions and our physical margins. They're all touching. They're all connected. So how do we find this balance? Because we can't just focus on one thing. For the sake of the series, we have been. We've been focusing on one piece at a time. But in life, if I were to just put all of my focus, 100% of my focus on my time management, there are three margins that I'm not paying attention to. See, if we want to build balance, we can't just focus on one. We have to focus on all of them. And we have to begin to take control of our margins again. Be able to say no when things come in that start to threaten our margins. We have to know what to say no to, but we have to know how to say no. And we have to be very careful not to solve our balance problem with imbalance. So I want you guys to picture a bucket. I was going to actually bring in a bucket, but that would have been way too messy, so I decided not to for the sake of our trustees. Imagine a bucket full of water, like level across the top, water. Now you have water that you want to add to the bucket. So you go and you try to pour water into this bucket. Remember, the bucket's already full. So what happens when you pour the water in? It runs off the sides and all over the ground and makes a mess over everything. That's why I didn't actually bring the bucket in. It makes a mess everywhere. In order to add water to the bucket, we have to first empty the bucket of some of the water. This is true in our lives. If we want to add balance, if we want to add margin to our lives, we have to first take things out. Because if we don't, we're just adding stuff in, and we're pushing the words on the page farther and farther, and we're losing our margins. So we have to know to take things out. So how do we know? How do we know what to say no to? How do we know what to take out? How do we find balance? We put God in the middle. If we put God at the center of our page and then go out from there, then we can use God as our guide so that when something comes in that threatens our margins, we can test that against God as our guide, and we can know to say no to that thing or to let that thing in. When we're trying to decide what to take out of our lives, what habits to change, we test the habit against the guide of God, and that way we can take that out or put that in. In order to find balance, we have to know to say no and take things out to put things in with God at the center. How many of you have ever taken notes at any time in your life ever? Whether that be some class in high school or junior high or college or right now. And you're probably, if you are taking notes right now, you've probably done this a little bit. You know, you doodle in the sides, right? I was flipping through my notes from college the other day, and I tried to get it up on the screen, but it didn't work because I'm not as technically savvy as I like to think that I am. But I would go and I'd doodle all over to my pages. It's unreal. That's called marginalia. And this is something that RJ taught us a little bit about last week. Greg, if you could throw this picture up on the wall here. What would happen is the scribes in the olden days, like ancient scribes, they would be transcribing and duplicating texts, and it would take a really long time. And because of how long it took to copy these texts, they put a lot of value in their work. And so they would, in the margins of their text, they would paint these pictures. And you've got the text, and obviously the words in this are important. You can't read them. Not only is it blurry, but it's also in a different language. The words are important. But they would paint in the margins these beautiful pictures, these vibrant colors and these vivid line work. I love looking at that. So we are writing the story of our lives. And if God is in the center, then he is guiding our hand as we write. But regardless of that, we are responsible for writing our stories. 2 weeks ago, RJ quoted from Steve DeNeff. He's the senior pastor at College Wesleyan. He said that the older you get, you realize our dreams or our lives don't take shape of our dreams. Our lives take the shape of our disciplines and our decisions. See, it is our disciplines, our decisions, the choices that we make, the things that we do that write our story on the page. We determine whether or not we have margin in our time or in our finances or in our emotions or in our physical lives. We write our stories. And as we write, God paints beauty into our margins. But we have to leave him a margin to do so. We have to let God be the Lord of our wallets. We have to find him in the stillness of our solitude and our time. We have to find our rest and our emotional stability in who he is. And we have to glorify him in our bodies. We have to build margins so that he can paint beauty into the margins, because it is in the margins that he works. We're going to close in worship with the song Beautiful Things. And the song is all about God making us beautiful. So I want this to be our prayer this morning as we are closing in worship, that God would paint in our margins. So as we're singing this song, offer God your finances. Offer God your time and your emotions and your body. As we're closing in worship, offer God your margins so that he can paint beauty into the margins.